You're going to be helping with a couple of switchgrass bioenergy feedstock field days. These sound like interesting events, and apparently there's been a lot of research going on that is going to be reported on at these events.
Yes. You know, this is started long ago, looking at energy independence in the United States. In fact, if you recall, President Bush, I believe it was his 2008 State of the Union address, made mention of energy independence, and he made mention of the word switchgrass. Well, even at that time, there was already research underway about developing biomass crops or developing biomass varieties to generate biofuels from cellulosic sources. And we can take the energy of the sunlight and of course, produce biomass in many different forms. And we now have chemical thermal processes that can convert that biomass into drop-in fuels. And here in the Great Plains, one grass that is well adapted to our growing environment is switchgrass. It's a native perennial, warm season grass. It was very common in the prairie landscape prior to us row cropping this area. And Ken Vogel, Dr. Ken Vogel, who is a USDA ARS grass breeder at University of Nebraska, has developed a biomass variety of switchgrass. It looks a little different. In fact, it looks a lot different than the forage type of switchgrass varieties that we commonly know about, in that it's stemmy. It doesn't have near the number of leaves on it, but it gets very rank and stemmy looking. And they have generated as much as 8 tons per acre in rain-fed conditions in eastern Nebraska. And for reference purposes, a round bale of this switchgrass equates to a 55-gallon drum of ethanol. And so, it's something we can do. We're engaged in a research program with a consortium of other universities. It's a USDA-funded research and outreach project. Iowa State University is the lead institution. University of Minnesota, University of Wisconsin, University of Illinois, Purdue University, and of course, University of Nebraska are all partnering in this. And each has areas of expertise, whether it be in extension or whether it be in research that complement the efforts of this program. And so we've got objectives that are looking at the logistics of biomass production, or looking at continuing the improvement, genetic improvement, are looking at, for example, the safety issues associated with all this biomass. And, of course, there's a team that's looking at the thermal processing of it, and our team is specifically looking at a process called pyrolysis, and that's being done at Iowa State University. Now, there's other programs across the nation. There's some that are working with trees, pulp from the paper mill industries. Some are working with sugar cane in the southeast part of the United States. It's a very large program over a 5-year period of time. And what we have at Beaver Crossing and at Dawson, Nebraska are two research sites where we have this bioenergy switchgrass planted, as well as a forage type just to show differences. And we also have what's called a low diversity mixture made up of some other warm season native grasses. And we're collecting research data on those during the growing season, and we feel it's time now in year 4 of this effort to provide some information to the public on what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how this all came about. A lot of skepticism out there, of course. Big Oil doesn't look kindly to this, I'm sure, and there's a lot of skepticism on how can you do this. But the thing I like to point out, Ken, is there's a lot of things in our current daily lives that were not invented yesterday. They were invented 20, 30 years ago, and they were put on the shelf because economically they didn't make sense, or just logistically they wouldn't work. And we as Americans have done this forever. Our ingenuity of and ideas have and technologies have developed things. We've shelved them, and at some point in time, they may or may not be taken off the shelf to be included in our society. So I think people should come with an open mind, and we welcome any constructive suggestions that can make this move forward.
And in some of these areas where the irrigation water may not be as available in the future, I imagine this could have a lot of interest.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's sidebar of this whole thing I forgot to allude to, and that is, you know, we have a lot of marginal land in the United States, not just here in Nebraska. And that land oftentimes is, we're growing row crops on it. And we're contributing to water quality problems. We're contributing to soil erosion. And some of that land needs to probably be put back in the grass. The other thing that really allows us to do this is precision agriculture. There's a lot of fields throughout Nebraska where we should have grass waterways. We maybe should have grass filter strips running along the parallel of the slope to slow down the water, catch some nutrients, catch some silt. But you know, they don't get paid for those. You don't get a check from the grain market for those. And you know, we live in a society that the dollar decides on what we do oftentimes. And with precision ag technology, we have planters and we have sprayers that know when to plant and when not to plant, and when to shut the sprayer off as you're crossing these grass areas. Now all we need is an incentive. In other words, we need a biomass market. We need biomass processors, and we need a consumer who is saying, yes, I'll buy this product because it works. And it's good for our country in many, many ways. And these kind of things we're going to cover at the field day.
And this is another one of those, I guess what you call a chicken or egg situations where, how does the market develop if you don't have the supply? But you're not going to have the supply unless there's a market there.
Yep, exactly. But the Renewable Fuel Standard, or Renewable Fuels Act, dictated that a certain percentage of the ethanol would be produced from starch-based sources, and a certain percentage, a sliver, in comparison, would be from cellulosic sources. And so we've got, I think, two plants online now in Iowa that are using corn stalk residue to make biofuels. This is another option. And if the economics is there, the American farmer will implement it.